Welcome to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today we will be continuing our introduction to the Rambam's Book of Commandments by giving his introductory principles, where the Rambam explains how he determined which commandments are included and excluded from the count of 613. We will now continue with the fourth of the Rambam's 14 principles. This fourth principle is that we cannot count as one of the 613 commandments a general sort of commandment. If there is a statement in the Torah that one must obey the entire Torah, or one may not do any of the prohibitions of the Torah, this general statement cannot be counted as a commandment. So too, a commandment not to rebel against the Torah cannot be counted, since it is not a commandment to do a specific act, or a prohibition not to do some specific act. Therefore, they cannot be counted as a separate commandment. Rather, it is a general injunction and not counted among the 613. The Rambam now gives a number of examples of this. One verse says that everything I tell you, you should guard, or you should guard my statutes, you should do all of my laws, keep my covenant, or keep my charge, keep my commands. And many other examples that the Rambam says he could give, which all refer to a general commandment about keeping to the Torah. However, they cannot be counted as one of the 613. And now the Rambam goes to a more specific case, which some of the ones who have counted the mitzvahs, meaning here specifically the Bahag, evidently, the Hilchos Gedeles, have counted as a mitzvah. And the Rambam now argues and tries to prove that it should not be counted as a mitzvah. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 2, the verse states, Kadeshim Tiyu, you should be holy. And so too in verse 44 in chapter 11, it is stated, Vizkadishtem v'yisim Kadeshim, that you should sanctify yourselves and be holy. These cannot be counted as independent commandments, says the Rambam. These are rather general commandments to make ourselves holy by obeying the commands of the Torah. As the Rambam quotes the Sifra, which on this very verse, Kadeshim Tiyu, states that it means we should be separated, meaning that we should separate ourselves from all of the abominable things which the Torah has forbidden to us. And similarly, the Rambam quotes the Mechilta, regarding the prohibition of non-kosher foods, V'anshei Kedesh Tiyun Li, that you should be holy people to me. And as the Mechilta quotes Isi ben Yehuda, who says that every time God gives the Jewish people a new mitzvah, he adds on to their holiness. This shows that the fact that the verse states that we should be holy is not a separate commandment, but it is rather an explanation and connected with the mitzvah itself, the commandment to eat kosher. Therefore, the command of the Torah to keep kosher is not a separate command. It is as if the Torah is saying, do my mitzvahs, and in doing so you will become kosher. And this is also supported by the Sifri, which quotes the verse, V'yisim Kadeshim, you should be holy. This is referring to the holiness of the mitzvahs, of the commandments, showing again clearly that any of the commandments and their fulfillment is the way to become holy, and there is no way to count becoming holy as a separate commandment. This is mainly what the Rambam was trying to prove. And then the Rambam concludes that there are other similar verses, such as you should circumcise the foreskin of your heart, which means the Rambam says that you should humble yourself and listen to all of the mitzvahs which were mentioned. And so too the commandment in that same verse, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16, do not continue to be stubborn, meaning that we should not rebel and against fulfilling any of the prohibitions which we have been prevented from doing by the Torah, that we should not rebel and transgress these mitzvahs. Again, these are general commandments, an encouragement to keep to the laws which we have been already given. And all of these different verses cannot be counted in the 613 commandments. The fifth of the Rambam's 14 principles is that sometimes we have a verse in which a commandment is given, and then a reason is given for the commandment, and we could perhaps think that this reason counts as a separate one of the 613. When we have an instance of this sort, says the Rambam, we count it as only one mitzvah. There is a commandment, and there is the reason for that commandment, and the reason cannot be counted separately. And the Rambam now gives numerous examples of this. The law of the Torah is that if a man divorces his wife, he can later on remarry her. However, if after divorcing her, she marries another man, and this second husband either dies or divorces her, then the first husband may not take her back and remarry her. And the verse says in Deuteronomy 24:4 that do not take her back to remarry her, and concludes v'leisachti es haaretz, do not bring sin to the land. We might think there is one prohibition to remarry her, and then another prohibition not to bring sin to the land. However, says the Rambam, this is only the reason the Torah gives us why you may not remarry her. This does not count as a separate commandment. And so too, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 29, Al tachalal es bitcha lasnesa, do not allow your daughter to engage in immoral behavior. V'leisizne haaretz, do not make the land immoral. Again, we could consider the immoral behavior of the daughter, allowing her to behave in such a way, one prohibition, and then not making the land immoral another. But we can only count it as one, says the Rambam, because the prohibition is allowing your daughter to behave in such a fashion. And the reason is because this will make the land immoral, and it cannot be counted as separately. And so too, regarding the laws of eating kosher, the verse says that you may not eat these foods, and concludes v'lo sitamu b'hem v'nit mesem b'am, that you may not make yourself impure by eating them. And as the Rambam explains, this means that by eating these foods, you will cause yourself an impurity of the soul. You will bring impurity, tumah, to your soul. But that is a reason for the prohibition. That is not a separate prohibition. One, you may not eat non-kosher food. And a second prohibition, you may not make your soul impure. Therefore, they do not count as two. It counts as one commandment, since this is the reason for the first commandment. And the Rambam now brings a clear proof for this principle from the Sifri, speaking about a person who has murdered somebody and is now trying to ransom his life by giving money. And the verse says you are prohibited from allowing such a thing, and then gives a reason, you should not defile, make impure the land. And the Sifri says clearly here that this will cause, the Torah tells you here and teaches you, that murder will cause impurity of the land. So we see clearly again that the impurity of the land is not a commandment. Do not make the land impure. Do not defile the land. Rather, this will be an outcome of such behavior. It is only a reason, and therefore it cannot be counted separately. A final example given by the Rambam is regarding the law of a Kohen Gadol, the high priest, who is forbidden from leaving the temple in the middle of his service, or really any time to defile himself, even for the burial of a close relative. And the verse in Leviticus 21:12 concludes, V'lo yechalel, that he should not defile, he should not ruin, referring to the Beis HaMikdash itself, and especially to the sacrifice he was involved in. Now, we might think it's two separate commandments. One, not to leave the sanctuary, and another, not to ruin or defile the service. However, this is only a reason that if you leave the sanctuary, you will be automatically defiling the service. And this is the reason why it is you may not leave, and therefore cannot be counted as a separate commandment. Another one who counted the mitzvahs, that Rambam says, evidently referring to the Bahak, counted all of these different cases as separate commandments, without thinking too deeply into it. However, he will become ashamed if you ask him, this prohibition, what does it prohibit? What is the prohibition here? A person would have no answer, because there is no separate prohibition here. No act is being prohibited. This is rather a reason for the act which is prohibited. Therefore, none of them can be counted as separate mitzvahs. The sixth of the 14 principles that Rambam brings is that when we have a positive commandment and a prohibition regarding the same thing, they count as two separate commandments. One is the positive aspect and one is the negative aspect. There are three different ways we could have a positive and negative counted as two commandments, three categories. One category is when the same act, when it is done, is a positive commandment, and when it is not done is a negative. For example, we have certain time periods in which work is prohibited, such as the Sabbath, the holidays, or the Shemitah, the seventh year. In any of these times, working is a prohibition. Should one work, one is violating the prohibition. Should one rest, one is fulfilling the positive commandment. And therefore, we see that the positive and negative are just different sides of the same coin. And so too, eating on Yom Kippur. If you fast Yom Kippur, you are fulfilling the positive commandment. If you eat Chas V'Shalom on Yom Kippur, then you are violating the prohibition. Again, the positive and negative directly correspond. A second category of this sort of mitzvah is when the positive commandment precedes the prohibition. For example, we have certain cases in which a man is obligated to marry a woman, and after he marries her, he is prohibited from divorcing her. One of these cases is a case of rape. When he has raped an unmarried woman, he is required to marry her, unless, of course, she does not desire, as we will explain, Mirtz Hashem in Sefer HaMitzvahs. He is required to marry her and may not divorce her for his entire life. And so, too, a man who has now wed his wife, he is newly married, and he accuses her of an adulterous relationship between the engagement and the consummation of the marriage. If his accusation is found to be false, he is required to finish off the marriage and remain married to her forever and never to divorce her. Here we have two commandments, a positive and negative. But first comes the positive and only then the negative. He is required to marry her. This is the positive commandment. Once he has married her, he is prohibited from divorcing her. They are not being fulfilled at the same time. In the first category, when one rests on the Sabbath, one is fulfilling two commandments, the positive commandment and the negative. But over here, first the positive must be fulfilled before the second one can be fulfilled. He must first marry her, and only then, after fulfilling the positive commandment, can he fulfill the prohibition of not divorcing her. A third category is when first comes the prohibition and then the positive commandment, known as a lav shenitik la'esei, as we will have many examples in Sefer HaMitzvahs where there is a prohibition, but if the prohibition has been transgressed, there is a positive remedial part of the mitzvah. Over here, the Rambam brings an example from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22, verse 6. Which states when one comes across a nest with eggs or young chicks together with the mother chick, one has a prohibition from taking the mother together with the chicks. Lesika ha'em al habanim. Do not take them both together. Rather, what should you do? Shaleach teshalach es ha'em. First send away the mother, and then you can take the chicks. Here there are two separate actions. This is something you may not do, and this is something you should do. So you should not take the mother with the chicks. Rather, this is what you should do, the positive commandment, you should send away the mother. In any of these three general categories, we have both a positive commandment and a prohibition. The Rambam tells us that both of them are counted separately. We count the positive and the negative commandment. The Rambam now supports this contention by bringing different quotes from our sages. Our sages are constantly referring to this is a mitzvah's essay, a positive commandment, and this is a mitzvah's lace essay, this is a prohibition. So we see that our sages differentiate between these two categories and count them as separate mitzvahs. So too, there is an expression used, essay shabbah or lav shabbah, the positive aspect of this commandment and the negative aspect of this commandment. The essay is the positive and the lav is the negative. We see again they are counted as two separate commandments. And the reason is because they contain two separate contents. The content is different. One is a positive obligation to do something, and one is a prohibition not to do something else. These different actions, then they therefore count as two separate mitzvahs. The Rambam says that as much as I now remember, meaning at the time he wrote Sefer HaMitzvahs, I don't remember any of the people who count the mitzvahs who made such a mistake, to count both a positive and negative together. Rather, everyone else counts as the Rambam says they should, to count the positive and negative separately. The seventh principle, which the Rambam now discusses at some length, is that the details of a certain law are not counted as separate mitzvahs. And even if they should be explicitly stated in the Chumash, nevertheless we cannot count them separately. And the Rambam now gives many examples of this. He begins with his discussion of the law of Yibum and Chalitza. The law is that if there is a man who dies without having had children, then his widow is required to marry her brother-in-law. The brother-in-law is called the Yavam, and she is the Yavama. He is required to marry her, and that act is known as Yibum. Should they not marry, then the divorce-type action is done between them, known as chalitza, when the shoe is removed from the brother-in-law, and then the woman is free to marry someone else. This, the Rambam says, is a matter of agreement that chalitza and yibum are two separate commandments. However, there are many conditions. Sometimes a woman is allowed to do either. Sometimes she cannot do either one. In some cases, she is required to do Yibum and may not do Chalitza. And sometimes it could be the other way around. She must do Chalitza and cannot do Yibum. And similar restrictions on the man. So too, there could be a case where she's allowed to marry either her brother-in-law or another man, prohibited to both of them. Chalitza to any of the brothers, permitted to marry somebody else and forbidden to her Yavam, and vice versa, all different cases. And since these laws are so complex, we could have 200, over 200, the Rambam says, different details regarding the laws of Yibum and Chalitza. And we cannot count them separately, even those which are specifically indicated in the verse. Rather, it all counts as one mitzvah. All of these details are part of the law of Yibum, or the law of Chalitza. Another example that Rambam gives is a sin offering when somebody has entered the temple when impure, or a similar case. The law is, such a person brings a sin offering which is of adjustable value, depending on how much he can afford. Should he be able to afford, he brings a female lamb or a goat. Should he not have that much money, he brings two birds, either pigeons or doves. Should he have even less money, he brings flour. However, we don't count these as three separate commandments. There is one commandment to bring a sacrifice. Rather, there are differences. If you have so much money, you bring this type of sacrifice. And with less money, it changes. This does not mean it's a separate commandment. And so too with another type of sin offering, that for an unintentional sin. As discussed in the tractates Horius and Krisus, that if it's a prohibition of the Torah, for which the punishment is kores, excision of the soul, and it involves a positive action, a person that violates such a prohibition unintentionally must bring a sin offering. And for this sin offering, there are also various types. Should it be a Kohen Gadol, the high priest, he must bring a cow, a bull. Should it be a Nasi, a leader of the Jewish people, it's a male goat. Should it be anyone else, it's a female goat or a female lamb. However, this is one sacrifice, a sin offering for an unintentional sin. We cannot count every single type as a different commandment. If we would have to do such a thing, then we would, says the Rambam, we would have to count the alternative of a lamb or a goat also as two commandments. Or in the previous case, the different types of birds, either a dove or a pigeon, also as separate commandments. This principle that Rambam says is very difficult to determine in specific cases. One is required to have a great deal of understanding in order to properly apply it. The Rambam now gives us more examples of this law. In the prohibition of adultery, we learn as one of the Ten Commandments, one may not commit adultery. And our sages tell us this is referring to relations with a married woman. Later on, the Chumash tells us that the penalty is death. However, we learn later in the Chumash that it depends what sort of married woman she is. Should it be a regular woman, the penalty is death by strangulation. Should she be the daughter of a Kohen, then she is punished by Sreifa, burning. Should she be a woman before the marriage has been consummated, Anaira Merosa, then she is put to death by Skila, by stoning. However, these different methods of punishment for the adulteress are not separate commandments. As the Rambam quotes from the Gemara Sanhedrin, that all of them are inclusive in the prohibition of adultery. Rather, different cases have been singled out in the daughter of the Kohen and the Naira Murasa, the betrothed maiden. They are singled out as far as the punishment is concerned. However, they do not become separate commandments in and of themselves. Rather, there is one prohibition, the prohibition of adultery, and there are various categories within it. And although they are specifically singled out in the Torah, nevertheless they do not count as separate commandments. The next example that Rambam gives is from the book of Numbers, chapter 35, beginning with verse 16. There are all the laws regulating manslaughter and the refuge cities to which an unintentional murderer can run to. And when we look at these laws and these verses, we find a great number of mitzvahs. There is one verse describing what is done if an iron weapon is used, another for a stone, another with wood, and so on. All different cases are discussed. And if we would count all of them together, and as the Rambam singles out, there are 16 different details regarding this law, about where he can run and how long he stays there, and so on and so forth. Many individual laws are singled out. Should we then count it as 16 separate mitzvahs? Should we count in such a fashion, we would end up with more than 2,000 mitzvahs in the Torah, not only 613. We therefore must derive that they count only as one mitzvah, the one general mitzvah regarding manslaughter and the refuge cities. The Rambam says this is indicated by the Chumash itself, which when this section concludes, V'shoftu ha'eda, that you should judge bein ha'makeh uvein gael adam, between the murderer and the avenger of his blood, ala mishpatim ha'ela, on these statutes. The Torah does not say these mitzvahs, which would indicate that each one is a separate commandment. Rather, it says mishpatim, meaning laws of the general commandment. This concept, the Rambam says, was sensed by the Bahag, the Baal Hilchos Gedeles, who the first Shir was the main one who counted and enumerated the 613 mitzvahs. And the Rambam is primarily criticizing his work. The Bahag did sense this idea, and therefore he uses the expression that there are different sections, Parshas Nachlis, the section dealing with inheritance, or the section of oaths, or the section of an unrightful accusation. And he does this, the Rambam implies, in order to keep from having to count so many separate commandments. However, in many other cases, the Bahag still did not completely uproot this idea, and therefore was led to count in the laws of leprosy 11 separate mitzvahs, whereas the Rambam says it should be proper is one commandment, that just as we see in the totally impure, has certain limitations. He may not enter the temple in Jerusalem, and he may not eat sanctified foods, and he is required to leave the area immediately surrounding the Machne Shechina, the inner king. The question is, a person with a skin condition, which, as we will discuss later, God willing, is not really leprosy, but has rather been erroneously termed that, since it is also a skin condition. This condition has various stages, and we have different laws given in the Torah. When is the person really impure? Should he exhibit this sign? He is definitely pure. He remains pure. Should he exhibit another time? He is definitely impure. Should there be another sign? Then we must wait and put him through a waiting period to see what will happen. Now, these are not all separate commandments. Rather, are different ways the Torah gives us to find out the status of this person. We can therefore not count all stages as separate commandments. Rather, there is a commandment here to determine whether the Metzeda is pure or impure, as indicated in the verse in Chumash, Latare Oy Latamei. And our sages explain that this verse, which translated means to declare to make him pure or impure, means that just as the mitzvah says you should make him pure, so too you should declare him impure if he is in such a state. And the Rambam says that this clearly indicates that the mitzvah is to determine his status, but how to determine it cannot be counted as separate commandments, but are rather conditions and specific details as to how we can determine whether the person is pure or not. And therefore the Bahag, who counted it as 11 mitzvahs, is in error, says the Rambam. And if we would follow the path of the Bahag to list all of these details as separate commandments, we would have tremendous trouble by the law of a Baal Mum. The law is that a blemished animal may not be brought as a sacrifice. What constitutes a blemished animal? The Torah lists many of the different signs, and the Rambam says that if we took all of the laws regarding blemishes into account, we would end up with 70 different laws, 70, just for the law of blemishes alone. And we obviously cannot count 70 of the 613 mitzvahs for this one law. The law of a blemished animal and the prohibition against its sacrifice is one mitzvah, and there are 70 conditions or specific laws which will tell you when this animal is considered blemished. And so too with the signs of leprosy or tzaras, all of the details about how to determine whether the person is pure or impure are all details of the one general commandment. The Rambam concludes and says you must keep this principle in mind, and this is a central pillar which will be a basis of many of the things we will discuss later in Sefer HaMitzvos.